In the outside world we need some teacher. We are thankful to them, whatever learn at their feet. But all these outer subjects relate to the outer faculties, mind or intellect. And in a subject, we start the ABC of it starts when you rise above body consciousness. When the world flashes then, there they begin start, reasons back, leisure to mind. We do need somebody. Of our own self, we cannot rise above body consciousness. Can we? Why can't we, I tell you? Because our souls are identified with the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect and the body, that we cannot, we are identified, we cannot differentiate ourselves. We are under grand delusion. Who can withdraw our attention from outside and from the body below, raise you up, you see I am not the body. Know thyself mean? By self-analysis you know you are the driving force of all this faculty of the man body. Then you see the old self which is controlling you. So such life, this is definition generally done by all masters. They never say, I am God. They say, we are the messenger. We have been sent by God to guide you back to your home. That's all. If anybody says, what 10th Guru said, if any of you do call me God, you go to hell. You see, that is only to stop this misconception prevailing in the world. Our master used to say, he said, take me as your father, as your mother, elder, as your teacher. You follow my instruction, when you rise above body consciousness, you see something more, you may tell anything. So this is something which starts when you rise above body consciousness. And Guru Amar Das came to the feet of such a master after 70 long years. He says, I've got great blessing to have a living master. So Guru Ram Das, he says, prayer. Anybody would pray. Oh God, make us the slave of the slaves who have become your slave. We are all, you see, slaves of our outgoing faculties, slaves of the mind ramifications. We are slaves of the outer enjoyments of all those who are attached to us. We are not slaves of God. So he prayed, O God, lead me to the feet of such a master who is your mouthpiece. And keep me with him till the end of my life. Let my soul depart while at his feet. Naturally, any lover would like to die at the feet of his beloved, is it not? We have been lovers of the world. When we are living, we call, where is my son, where is my mother, where is that, where is that? And the man who is the lover of God, he says, oh God, I'm going to my father. This is all master says. Guru Amar Das says, now I'm going back home. Don't cry. Baba Jamsi said the same thing. Our master used to sit some months before, well, I'm leaving you. Oh, such like masters, we pray, O God, give us the feet of such a personality with the mouth we of God. And he said, how long can I should like to die at his feet? This is the very biggest prayer, he said. I mean prayer. Of all the prayers that we have. And he says, why have chosen this thing? He says, even the most learned people like Shankara, who first gave out about the, what you say, oneness of God is all God, into expression or whatever it is. We are no other than God. Then later on his father gave out the Ramanuja, that we are still a cover over that power. We are not that. He also, you see, first he was preacher like that and ultimately became to be a lover of Rama. God is incarnation power. So as I told you, yesterday, in the temples, in the mosques, in the churches, there are symbols of light are found out there. Which is better? They are symbols only to show the such like models, the such like light and sound of God is reverberating within you. And one asks who is the better, and he is better as he too, of all these in whom that light is effulgent, is radiating. That is best of all. So these outer things you have found just for teaching the people that such like sound is there, such like light is within you, you are the two temples of God. We have respect for outer temples and places of worship as it is meant to direct people to the true temple of God which you are carrying. So long as the practical people were there, they gave a demonstration of that. They saw their own body was the true temple of God with the grace of the Guru. So he is best of all. Now he says Shankar, the most learned man, came out after to worship of man, incarnation. And Narad, who is the, I see the Bhakti Yoga, head of the Bhakti Yoga, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he took to the Bhakti Yoga. And last of all, he saw, he first worshipped God in the symbol of Mother. Mother invited me all around, right, left, up, down. There was no place where Mother was not. He came to his Guru. He said, look here, I cannot rise into quantity, unity of God. He took something, whatever was lying, put him here. Put your attention here. Rise above. Then he had risen to oneness of God. So I tell you, the most learned and the most devoted God, I mean Bhakti Yoga, and also of all other yogas, they bear testimony, they hanker to come to the feet of somebody who is born made flesh. One is, fire is burning somewhere, to sit by that. And one is learning how to burn the fire by rubbing. So that is why Mala Room gave out, you can find to sit at the feet of a master, not the so-called masters, excuse me, for 1 hour, that will give you an effect, a benefit you would not be able to derive by sitting 100 years in the outer palaces. So, Guru Ram Das say, why we want to set the feet of a master like that and die at his feet? Because even the most learned people, the most bhakti yoga heads, and others all prayed for the, I mean, what is presence, or the guidance, or the company of those who were made flesh, direct mouthpieces of God. He says, further it is, such like people, those who were made flesh, wherever they laid their feet on, where they resided, they became the places of pilgrimage. Christ lived in Jerusalem. That is the place of pilgrimage for all Christians. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, was at Mecca. That is the place of pilgrimage of all the Muslims all over the world. Buddha was awakened. In India there is a place there that is called, that place is a place of pilgrimage for all Buddhists. Guru Nanak born somewhere which are called now as Nankanasal. He sat at the feet of some tree which became sweet, part of it, the fruit became sweet, then called as by that place where he sat. So one word made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the what the places of worship, which is better of all. Kabir puts question, O God, have a doubt in me, tell me, clear that out. Is it the word made better or the places of pilgrimage? You will say, you will have to say, the word made flesh, wherever it sits, is better of all these places of worship. Pilgrimages, because it is due to him that place of pilgrimage came to be. So that is why Guru Ramdas say, I pray, O God, let me sit at the feet of you, of such a word made flesh, and die at his feet. Then he says, what to do? Just seek. If you hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. Don't think of your high position, or your wealth, or your ego. You just hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. See for yourself what you are. Don't go by the propaganda. Simply go and see. These are the things which sometimes stand in our way. You know, there is one saint, Ravidas. Mirabai, a saint, came to his feet and was blessed, was put on the way. The king of the time was called by name Pipa. He heard about it, that Ravidas, who was by profession a cobbler, is a great saint here. So many people have gathered together at his feet and derived benefit. He also wanted to go to his feet, but he considered, I am a king. How can I go to the feet of a cobbler? Worldly position, sometimes the wealth, sometimes high education, stands her way. Oh, I know someone, I have someone, why should I go? One day he could not remain, you see. At the evening time, as you see, at the evening time many people go around. In old days people used to go to the places of worship, sit there, temple, or at home. He ran up and go to the house, went to the house where Ravidas saint was living. He said, Master, I have come. He said, all right, he has not thought of his position and wealth. And if he has come, all right, I will give him such a thing he will remember forever. You see, he was just washing the skin in the cobbler. And the king was afraid, oh my Lord, what will happen if I'm asked to just drink that water which is washing up the skin? You see, the predominantly, presence of a great master, man forgets everything. He could not refuse. He simply took the water, let it go to the shirt, ran back, oh God, I'm saved. I was otherwise spoiled. When he came home, he called for the washerman, little wash this cloth. That was some stain of the skin, water of the skin, washing. So the daughter, he asked his daughter to just, with the tongue, clean it off, wash it, and then the shirt was washed. In that there was attention, you see, mind that. Attention works wonders. What is initiation? It's a literal attention given to, which gives you a boost to rise above body consciousness. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. When attention is diverted, rabbited at one place, that works wonder. So, washerman's daughter became to be known as a saint. People began to gather together at her feet. King also came to know about it, that the daughter of my washerman is a saint, people are coming, let me go to her, visit him. He is not a cobbler, she is not a cobbler, you see. went over there. When he reached there, the daughter of the wiser man stood up with head folded. And the Pipa king said, told him, look here, daughter, I have come to see you as a saint, not as a daughter. You should not have stood. She said, also I have not stood that because you are a king. I am only standing in reverence because whatever I have got, it is through your favor. And she explained what it was, that I just washed the stain of the on the shirt which you gave us with my tongue. Then he repented and came. Now the master, the people say, if you hear of such a master, who would not wish to go to such a master? But such masters have been few in the past. Even now they are few, but they are not, world is not without them. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply goes on as a law. If a child was born 5,000 years back, 500 years back, or now, does not nature make arrangement for world in the mother before it is born? Don't you think those who will come in future, they will refuse that consideration? So, masters do live. They never say we are gods. They simply say we are your brothers. We are all brothers and sisters of God. Of course, they say, with the grace of God, something is working, then all credit goes to Him. So, Guru Ram Das says, wherever you hear such like masters, you go to His feet. Don't think of the worldly position. Don't think of your high position. Don't think of the learning that you have got. To go is better, you see. Saint Augustine said, what is the way back to God? He said, first humility, second humility, and third humility. You are humble only when you try to go to somebody. Even if you go there, you are not humble, then whatever tumbler, you see, whatever glass is put under a tumbler of water, only that will be filled. If it's that place above the tumbler, then what you know that's all right. Keep it to you. Just hear what he says. He might be saying something else. And you understand that, follow it. When you have that in manifest in you, become humble, truly humble. Any fruit-laden tree, the branch of it laden with fruit, that bends down to the ground. So humility comes up only then. Now the point is, what does he give such a man? We have business, actually. Why should you go to such a person? He says, his first work is give a boost to you to rise up above body consciousness. He gives you a rebirth into the beyond. You know what Christ gave out? Except you be born in you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, who was a very learned Jew, had it there. He came up, Lord, how can, we are old ones, how can we re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, you are a learned man, everybody, respect you, don't you know that flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he said, you must be reborn. This rebirth is called. In Amashiri, it is called twice born. You see, this is what they give. That's only had at the feet of the master. Guru Nanak was asked, when did you escape the wheel of life and death, coming and going? He said, by having a rebirth at the feet of my master. When you become conscious co-worker of divine plan, your ego is gone. If you have not become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then you are the doer. Whatever you sow, you will have to reap that. Good actions will give you good results, bad. The wheel of coming and going will go on. So this is the first thing who raises you from the depths of the poisons of the outgoing faculty above all that, bring you up and open your inner eye to see the light of God. Moranum referred to it as we are all in the prison house of the body. We have forgotten ourselves. How to come out of the body? He says, you break the roof, open it, hold into the roof and go out. So in man's body, you see, so long as you are working at the level of the outer faculties, all impressions are coming within you. If you stop all that, draw your attention from all outside, the outer faculty won't work. And just collect all your attention at the feet of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, then that inner eye will open, single eye, you will see the light of God. You see the voice of God, music of the spheres, which will lead you where? That will lead you where? From where that emanated. Okay, God said, I am one and wish to be many. There was vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. So this is direct way back to God. So, what is done? You see, when you meet a master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, how to become conscious co-worker, divine plan, that power is working, it is not you. Then you lose your ego, that Lord of reckoning, of justice, which just gives it, what is it? Decisions according to our actions, then while a doer, but those who become conscious co-workers are divine plan, they have not to attend that court of law. So this is, while all your records back are present, when there is nobody to bear the reactions of the past, no ego is left, no doer is left, then who will bear that? So all are worthless. So you are not to attend the court of reckoning after your death. As you sow, so shall you reap. You escape that beast. Because you become conscious, you are no more doer of the day thing. So, such like people, you say, what to do? When you want permanent peace and permanent jaya, then there is one thing only. Don't, he said, delay a minute. Seek the feet of somebody who is master in that sense. And so when such masters come, what they do? They all right, here's the way back to God, come up, God will lead you there. He has sent me to carry you over there. He does not say, I am God, he says, I am messenger. Just, you see, there are two kinds of masters who come into the world. Electricity is the same. Somewhere it burns fire, somewhere it gives you eyes clean. There are two different workings of that power, which is called. One is called incarnations of God, the other come of the negative power, you might say, of called time, and the other is incarnations of God. So saints also come to the world, their mission is different, and others also come, their mission is to punish the wicked, to uphold the righteous, and let the world going. Whereas those who come to take back soul back home, that is to depopulate the world, you see, and bring people home. It is something, I may give you an example. There is a prison house. One man goes there, he takes pity on them, they don't get good food, he allowed some money. and the prisoner begins to have good food after that. Another man goes there, he sees they've got no clothes. He sanctions some amount, and the prisoner begins to have good clothes. A third man goes over there, he says they've got no ventilated buildings to live in. He sanctions some allotment, made some money, and they begin to have good ventilated house. All three people went out there, their sympathy was for the prisoners. They began to have good food, good clothing, and good buildings to live in. Another man went up. He had the key of the door of the prison. He opened the door. All right, go out, each other. Who had more sympathy for those men? So saints are like that. They come to take you back home. So whenever you come under the custody of such a personality, called by any name you like now, he's a man born like us, of course. But the difference is, he has control all his outgoing faculties, he takes work from them as he desires, and we are led away by the outgoing faculties. He rises, he wants his body is working in the world, but his soul is in tune with God, is the mouthpiece of God. He appears to very much have engaged in worldly affairs, but whenever he wants, he rises above body consciousness and transcends to beyond. So he can work both ways, here and there. To have such a master, living master, is a great blessing. So such like people come up, and then the question comes, what is in their hands with which they do all these things? They are world made flesh, mind that. That word has God, as you told, as I submitted to you, to a special light and sound. They come, that's already within us, but our soul is just identified with the world outside. We draw all our attention from outside and gives it something to start with, some capital to start with. He not simply says, go on doing it, you'll have it. No. A bird in hand, is better than two in the bush. He gives you demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness. Give you some capital to start with of light and sound by regular practice. They do own, you see, at times Guru Amar Das says, I was sometime like you working the world under the control of outgoing faculties, but now I have risen above with the grace of God, working through my Guru. So every saint has its past and every sinner future. So there is hope for everybody. Those who got man body, they have got the heredity right, as I told you, to know God. So in their hand, what nectar they have got, what medicine they have got, by which they raise our souls from all outward enjoyment, gives a higher bliss within, that it will bring you in contact with the world within you. Thy world is lamp unto my feet. Take heed that the light which in you is not darkness. You follow? With that thing, they do like that. So, when the master comes, you know that when Christ sent his disciples to preach outside, he said, what you heard in the ear, tell them from the housetop. These things are now being given out openly as platforms. This is the basic teaching of all masters who came, whether in the East or the West. Now we need somebody. If we can rise up our own self, well and good, what more is wanted? But if we cannot, if somebody comes there, then God sends him. Your prayer is true. God makes some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where he can have this facility of rising to. Demonstration of rising above body consciousness, opening inner eye. So they come and proclaim, here's the way. God wants each one of you to come back to his home. And that thing which leads you to your true home is within you already, controlling you in the body. You are simply to withdraw your attention from outside and give your contact with that, and which will lead to where, from where it emanates, to Absolute Lord.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording that was just played was the last half of a talk given by Master called Who is Really a Master? On October 9th, 1972, at Hunter College in New York City. Our reader this morning is Rudy Cascone. Hello, Rudy.
Hello, David.
Carry on.
Thank you. Today's talk is called Nam and Ramayana, and it's from the August 1973 Satsang Desh. And Master begins by saying, take the recorded words of any true master, and you will find that they cannot praise Nam enough. The Vedas, the Shastras, and the numerous other scriptures declare that man has no hope of salvation without the Nam. One Nam is the deliverer in all four yugas. Well, during the discourses at Satsang, the words of various masters are quoted, but all on the same subject, salvation through Nam. Although an abundance of information is available on Nam, or word, yet very few people really understand the subject. Today, we will see what Tulsidas Ji has said about it in his famous work, The Ramayana, which is a very noble and reliable source of information on the moral and the righteous living. One can say that it is a type of sacred scripture that can be taken right into our lives and practiced. It is a very wonderful work of great depth. Most of the world reads it as a story, a mighty epic of the lives of Lord Rama and his wife, Queen Sita. But very few people discover the depth of meaning hidden in the words. The teachings of the Master is no new thing. It has come to man through all the ages, but man does forget, and so the masters must come from time to time to revive the old, old truth. With the advent of each master, praise for Nam has been highly lauded, and no less in this great book, Ramayana, of which I do not profess to be a scholar. But we will take a section which covers the subject of Nam. Understanding the name Nam and the named are one. The Lord and his emissary are intermingled in love. There is no difference between the name and the named. Name is the word given to denote something, as the word water is given to denote the liquid by drinking which one's thirst is satisfied. Similarly, the word siwak means one who is a servant of someone, but between them exists a profound love. The named is he to express whom we use so many words, while the true name, or Nam, is the expression of that. So there is really no difference between the expressor and the expressed, for both are closely intermingled in love. Nam and form are both his attributes, ineffable, eternal quintessence. Nam and form are the Lord's attributes, and the attributes are part of illusion. Yet they are indescribable. The whole world speaks of illusion, but what is it? Its nature is not easily understood. but it has three main aspects. Pradhan, or principle, prakriti, or nature, and maya, or illusion. Pradhan is that which connects the material with the spiritual and is the highest aspect. One should grasp that the attributable and the attribute are not separate, just as water and its coolness are not separate, or fire and its heat. Both are one, and yet heat alone is not fire. Fire burning is something complete, and the heat is its expression. So nam and form are illusion, but are at the same time imperishable, permanent, indescribable. In Vedanta, illusion is described as being that which is not there, and yet seems to be there. The masters agree with this, but qualify this statement by explaining that the attributable and the attribute are not different things, but are the expressor and that which he expresses. So at a higher stage, there is pradhan, and when it reaches a lower stage, it is called prakriti, or nature. Par means beyond, and kriti means natural attributes. The aspect of illusion or maya is the means of balancing everything. That is our intellect. Illusion is not separate from God and is sustained by him, but of itself has no existence. It is nothing, and yet it is there. And if you can fully understand this, then creation becomes very simple. For the whole of creation is under the influence of illusion, which you can call forgetfulness. So when we forget ourselves, we forget that which lies behind everything, the Creator. And then we are lost in illusion. Illusion is like a huge serpent embracing the world. It eats those who serve it. In all three planes, the physical, astral, and the causal, illusion is holding everything in its clutches. Its aspects are not separate. They come from the same source, but there's a difference. If a certain mango turns red in color when it is ripe, one cannot say that the color is not part of the fruit, and yet it has no identity, being but the mango's expression. Tulsidas is explaining a very deep subject, which is hard for anything but an advanced intellect to understand. So how does one gain the understanding? Well, this world, you see, is the form of God. His form is apparent. The Lord and Sustainer becomes apparent when one's spiritual eye is opened. One sees that he is the very foundation of all illusion, and that all expressions are of his form. Paradoxically, it is the Lord's form, and it is not his form. His form is not apparent to one who is deep in forgetfulness and involved in illusion's enjoyments, which are the grand play or trap set to ensnare our wandering attention. When the inner eye opens, then we see everything as it truly is, and the illusion fades away. And this is how the illusion exists but does not exist. It is a sin to judge one greater than the other. Listen to the Master's secret knowledge to understand this. We cannot say that the attributable is greater than the attribute, for the two are of the same. However, the secret of the paradox can be found. For the world is a house of truth in which the truth resides. And when one rises above all three planes, one begins to understand what truth is. But this is not for the worldly man. whose eye is yet closed and who, through becoming the body's image, has gone deep into forgetfulness. Illusion is like a serpent who, giving birth to its young, promptly eats them. But when rising above the three planes, a guruma can be saved from it. You will see that the form is supported by nam. Knowledge of form is not separate from nam. One cannot have knowledge of form without the knowledge of nam. This is the law. Why is this? Because the form itself is an expression of nam and is not separate from it, even though both are in illusion. Although eternal, indescribable, yet of itself it has no existence. And you can find reference to this in Vedanta, and all masters have told us the same. So it is not a matter for conflict in religious thought. It is a matter for understanding. Form without nam cannot be known. Effort regardless, it cannot be recognized. Even if you hold an object before your eyes, how can you recognize it without knowing its name? You can see something before you but cannot identify it. The difference arises only in the various ways in which man approaches the subject. And this is why the masters advise the sincere seekers not to renounce the world and go off to the lonely places. Their advice is to gain salvation while living in the world by developing that latent or inner eye, which one can see the truth which unfolds itself automatically. When one's angle of vision changes and we see everything in a truer light. And when the perfect Satguru is met, perfect is his competency. While living in the world, laughing, wearing, one gains salvation. So, it is not necessary to cease living an everyday life. For in the forests and isolated places, the illusion still exists. One must take food and water. There are animals there. One must sleep on some kind of bedding. Is this not all part of the illusion? Where can one go where the illusion does not exist? Worldly people suffer and die without ever seeing a glimpse of God's form. And yet every spot in the whole of creation is God's temple. Each and every man can make any place sacred by simply bowing his head in love and devotion. For all is holy where devotion kneels. Is there any place where God is not present? He is everywhere, and so is his expression. Simran of Nam without seeing the form is susceptible to doubt in the heart. There is some attraction in the association by words only. One can develop some feeling of love in this way. If one has never seen a mango fruit, but here's a description of its appearance and sweetness, one can form some kind of picture of what the mango is really like. Similarly, by hearing about the truth or repeating certain word associations, one's interest can be awakened and the feeling of love stirred up in one's heart. For the words which tell us of the truth are related to it somewhat. But to go deep into the subject, one must see it for oneself. For that, the opening of the inner eye is necessary, to see what is expressed by God and repeated by oneself. Repetition of Simran or Simran is the first step, and is taught for understanding, and to focus the interest or attention to see that. Nature of nam and form is an indescribable story. Those who know it enjoy indescribable bliss. Even the theory is difficult to understand, but if one can grasp it, the knowledge of the theory alone is enough to fill one being with happiness, a happiness which cannot be expressed in words. If one can receive this joy by merely understanding the subject, what will be the potential bliss of experiencing it? Without a tribute is nam. Name and form both go to understand and interpret it. Nam is the interpreter of attribute and non-attribute both, for it alone reveals them. And to understand the truth, man must experience both nam and form. How else can it be possible? We can try to describe such things through intellect, but this is inaccurate. Whereas experiencing nam and form gives us accurate knowledge of the truth, it is clear why nam and form are necessary to each other. Oh, Tulsi, if you are desirous of seeing the light of nam within and without, just keep the lamp of Ram Nam at the threshold of the mind. He has so far described nam and form, but now he uses God's name in the same reference. Here, the Hindu word Ram is used for God, and the root of this is Rama, which means vibration permeating all. The power which vibrates in every atom and through which all creation came into being is called Ram. Among other terms, so Tulsidas tells us that if we desire to have the light within and without, we must light the lamp of Ram Nam. Put God's lamp into the doorway of your mind, and with all thought, all attention, do the simran of God's name, then both within and without, the light will become effulgent. Once you are connected to Nam, you will only have to close your eyes to see light within. And with advancement, you will see it with your open eyes also. Repeat the Nam with devotion, and the light of millions of suns will burst forth. The practice must be done with full attention. There are numerous types of simran. One is to repeat with the tongue, one through the throat, one at the heart's level, etc., etc. And if the repetition is not done in the mind, with the tongue of thought, there is no penetration, and there is no success. One can begin at the word level, but it must soon develop to the mind level. For when the mind is stilled, only then will contact be made and the light revealed. This is the science of the masters. And what does the guru do? He puts the true kalirum of nam in the eye by withdrawing the attention behind the eyes, which banishes the darkness to give you light. The presence of light within is proof of contact with the nam. Christ said, "If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." The single or spiritual eye is opened, and you will see for yourself that your whole being is full with light. The light of God. The Muslim brothers speak of kohur, the mountain peak, the place behind the physical eyes where the prophet Moses saw the radiance of the Lord. All masters tell us to rise above the body. The attention must rise above body consciousness to the still point behind and between the eyes, which is the seat of the soul, the focus point where the light becomes effulgent. Seeing the light within is the assurance of the contact with Nam. God is light, and Nam is the power of that ever-existent Lord. One can call it God in action power. Repeating Nam with his tongue while alive, the yogi enjoys renunciation by cutting off all attention from outside. By devoting oneself to Nam with full attention, one can achieve the same state of awakeness that the yogis reach when they arise from the deep sleep of illusion. At this, all illusory attachments ceases, and this culminates the true renunciation of the world and its environments. True renunciation really means freedom from all attachment. And you can achieve this if you so desire, for this is the power of the greatness of Nam. Guru Nanak was once discussing the Nam with some yogis, and he told them, like a lotus flower above the water and a duck which shakes herself dry, swim the ocean of life through the Surat Jabd, O Nanak. This is the greatness of Nam. One can swim this ocean of life untouched by the taints of the world. At present, mind and attention are like one, but they can be separated by rising above the senses and repeating Nam with the mind. The true awakening occurs when the mind is stilled and one rises above the body. We live in a very sad condition. This whole world sleeps in attachment and forgetfulness. How can this illusion go? Only with the aid of Nam power can one overcome this state of sleep and accomplish that which the masters advocate, to live in the world but to be not of the world. Complete happiness comes by the incomparable realization through the indescribable formless Nam. This is the stage of the nameless Nam, which has no form and is free from all impurity, and through which one can reach the height of an inestimable bliss. Tulsidas has first described the Nam and the form, and now he indicates that beyond this stage lies a stage of complete bliss, where Nam is formless, where Nam is no longer in expression, and no longer uses name and form. So we begin to see the difference between the expression and the background of that expression. If you wish that concealed knowledge revealed, repeat the Nam with your life's breath. By repeating Nam with full attention, all the mysteries are revealed, but it must be repetition at the highest level, with all heart, mind, and spirit. Muslim fakers also say that Simran done with the attention is the teaching of a fully realized fakir. Fakirs, or masters, are the only ones who know this secret teaching. You will not find the worldly doing this kind of simran. Repeat the Nam with devotion and love, become mystically adept, gaining all great powers. Those connected to Nam, who daily repeat Nam with all attention, gradually master the supernatural powers, because the supernatural powers are servants of Nam. The disciple of Nam learns to control these powers, but the masters have forbidden them to be used, for there is danger thereby of the student going into outward expression and receding further and further from the truth. But it is a fact that gaining control of these powers is an automatic part of the progress on the path of Nam. Repeating Nam, the afflicted are freed from all misery and gain happiness. When Guru Nanak said that the whole world was unhappy, he was asked if there was not a single soul who enjoyed happiness, and he said, "They are happy who are sustained by Nam. Even the most miserable of people have transformed their lives into an expression of joy by being connected to the Nam. Nam is the panacea for all ills. It is the only real means to happiness. But I will repeat that very few people understand the subject of Nam." And I'd like to end there. I'm just a little short by 1 minute. But anyway, I'd like to thank you all for listening. And thank you, Master, for your understanding of your words through your grace and love. Thank you.
And thank you, Rudy, for reading for us. Could you tell us again what the source of your reading was this morning?
Yes, the source is Master's Talk, Ram and Ramayana, from the August 1973 Satsang Desh.
Great, thank you. There were 82 people at this morning's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Those who are initiated, it is special grace of God. The purpose is our soul must go back to the lap of the Father through the light and sound principle which emanates from the Absolute God.